Good day and welcome to the Barratt Trading Update. Today's conference is being recorded. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Mr. David Thomas, CEO. Please go ahead.
Thank you and good morning, everyone. Happy New Year. Today, as you know, we're issuing our trading update for the 6 months ended the 31st of December. As usual, Jessica is with me. Running through the highlights, we've delivered another strong first half performance, strong both operationally and financially. Our completions were up by 2% at 7,324. Our sales rate has been consistent, in line with a strong comparative last year. Forward sales are healthy and total nearly 2.4 billion, up 2%. And we ended the half year with net cash of 165 million. So if I can just give you a little bit more detail on the numbers. Net private reservations per active outlet were in line at 0.68. We launched 93 developments in the period, and we operated from an average of 376 outlets over the period. Average selling prices on completions were up by 5.9% for private and 6.5% in total, seeing benefits in terms of both mix and also some underlying price inflation. We see that the land market remains very attractive, and we have as a result approved over 13,200 plots of land during the period. And we continue to expect to approve more than 20,000 plots for FY18 as a whole. As we previously stated, we target a land bank of around 4.5 years for owned and controlled. So looking forward, we remain very positive on outlook. We've had a strong first half, and we're confident we'll deliver a good operational and financial performance for FY18. We're very proud of the quality of our homes and our high level of customer service, and we remain focused on these as we continue to help address the housing shortage. As Barratt celebrates its 60th anniversary in 2018, we are very pleased to say we have built over 450,000 homes across England, Scotland and Wales since 1958. We remain focused on driving operational improvements through the business, as well as delivering modest growth in wholly owned completions. In summary, the business is performing well, and we are operating in a supportive market environment. Jessica and I will now be happy to take any questions.
Thank you. If you would like to ask a question, please signal by pressing star 1 on your telephone keypad. If you're using a speakerphone, please make sure your mute function is turned off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Again, please press star 1 to ask a question. We will now take our first question from Aynsley Lammon from Canaccord. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Thanks. Morning. Just two from me, please. Wondered if you comment a bit more on the sales rates, just in terms of the kind of recent trends you've seen, and would you, still be expecting the kind of normal seasonal bounce during the spring selling season? I know it's early stages, but just wondered what your thoughts were there. And then secondly, I think you talk about approving over 20,000 plots of land purchase this year. Just wondered, as you look at that and the working capital movements you expect, what you're kind of still expecting for the net cash position to look like at the end of June 18. Thank you.
Okay. Ainsley, hi, good morning. So I think I'll just have a stab at both of them, actually. First of all, in terms of sales rates, I think a key feature of our announcements in September, November, and again this morning has been that we've seen very consistent sales rates year on year. So at each reporting event, we've been pretty much bang in line with the prior year rate. So I think we're very comfortable with where we are in terms of sales rates coming through the first half. In terms of the second half, I mean, historically, our second half sales rates have tended to see a tick up on the first half, so we clearly expect that to continue. And in terms of trends, I mean, I don't think we're going to get into the sort of granular level of, well, last week our sales were like this. But I think the reality is that these are very, very strong sales rates. We're seeing good footfall and strong customer demand. So I think it sets us up well for the second half and indeed calendar 18. In terms of the cash position and sort of working capital, the reality is we're still where Jessica guided to back in September to say that we expect cash spend on land round about $1 billion, and we would expect that our cash position at the year end will be around about $500 million, which is in line with how we've guided previously. The only additional thing would be that in the first half of the year, our cash spend on land has been slightly above $600 million, so more cash spend in the first half than 50-50 on the $1 billion.
That's really helpful. Thank you.
Our next question comes from Will Jones from Redburn. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Thanks. Good morning. Just a couple from me, please, if I could. Just on land, firstly, when we look at the implied plot cost of your land buying in the first half, I think it's about 48,000. And I think the average for last year was 52 or so. Now, is there anything we can read in that from that lower plot cost, or is it just, again, mix effects and variations around infrastructure requirements and the other stuff in the mix there, or are you getting kind of better margins year on year, I guess? And then the second one was really around the P&L margins in 2018. Perhaps you could just help us when we think about the first half profits. If I look at gross margin last year, it was 20.7 in the first half and 19.6, I think, in the second. And obviously London plays its part in affecting that. But for the first half of this year, would you advise us to kind of be keying more off where you were in the first half of last year or the second half or the full year? Just because it has been quite lumpy, I think, from half to half in the past. Thanks.
Okay. Will, hi, good morning. Yeah, so I think I'll... let me start off in terms of the land spend, and then Jessica can just talk in terms of gross margin. But first of all, in terms of land spend, I mean, I don't think there's anything that can particularly be read into 48,000 compared to 52,000, because I think inevitably there's just always going to be some mix effect in relation to that. I.e., we can't say, well, the cost of land is down by 10%. I think that the broader point which you touched on is that, first of all, when you look at where we're buying land, so in the regional market and zone 3 to 6 in London, we definitely feel that there are a lot of really good opportunities out there. And we are being able to intake land at levels that exceed our minimum hurdle rates. So, you know, a subtle change in language. We previously talked about meet or exceed, and I think we are now comfortable that we are always exceeding that 20% gross margin and 25% return on capital employed. I think we recognize we've got to be selective about the land that we intake, and we would expect the intake in the second half of the year to be down on the 13,200 plots in the first half, but overall that we will be slightly ahead of that 20,000 for the year. Jessica, just in terms of gross margin?
Yeah, I mean, in terms of gross margin, we're not giving any guidance in terms of margin or profit today. Clearly, this is just a trading statement, and we'll be back very shortly in February with the margin numbers and the profit numbers. All I would add is we set out in September very clearly what we're focused on in terms of margin and the margin levers we're pulling, and we remain focused upon those.
Okay, thanks. And I guess maybe linked to that, if I just think about London completions, and are you expecting a similar profile first half, second half to last year, or is it more even this year? Because I guess that has implications for the margin coming at it a different way.
Yeah, I mean, I think that the The London completion profile last year, overall, we obviously saw a reduction in overall completions last year in terms of London compared to the prior year. Overall, we would expect to see some further reduction in London completions in the current year compared to last year. The delivery profile in unit terms, I think, will be fairly similar. I think in terms of margin, we've set out, as Jessica touched on, we've set out that we're seeking to improve margin, whether that be on a year-on-year basis or a half-year-on-half-year basis. But clearly, any improvements, when you look at consensus, any improvements in margin will obviously be modest.
Great. Thank you.
Our next question comes from Chris Millington from Numis. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Morning, David, Jessica, Chloe. Just two quick ones for me, please. One's just about average debt in H1, if you could comment on that. And the second one's really just about the average sales price move in the first half. I think you were guiding to kind of a broadly flattish profile for the full year by memory, but there's obviously quite a significant move in the first half. And the slight reduction in the order book doesn't seem to kind of get you to kind of a flat profile. So I just wonder if you could just kind of comment around that point.
Okay, well, Jessica will obviously talk about the sort of average net debt position in the first half of the year. In terms of ASP, I mean, as you know, Chris, historically what we've tended to do is not give any detailed guidance on ASP. We've more tended to look at the ASP in the land bank, and we published an ASP in the land bank as at June 17 that total ASP, private and affordable, was just a little above 265,000. Now, I think there's always going to be some mix effect in terms of the way that is delivered, and then there is clearly going to be an improvement to the extent that there is underlying inflation. So we have seen some underlying inflation in the first half of the year, which is clearly helping in terms of ASP. But we're not looking for anything dramatically different on a year-on-year basis. So we're coming off an ASP last year of 275,000. We would expect to see a little bit of underlying inflation and a little bit of mix, but we don't have the significant mix benefits that we've had previously, as we've transitioned, for example, from flats to houses and more large family houses. I mean, I think that mix shift is really behind us.
Okay. So in terms of the net debt position for the first half, we operated actually with a net cash position for the first half of around 100 million. Looking at the full year, I'd expect net to be a broadly neutral net cash, net debt position over the period. That will have absolutely no impact in terms of interest costs, because clearly we have non-utilisation fees and the private placement note. So we still have the guidance of 50 million total interest, of which 15 is cash for the full year.
Thank you, guys. That's very clear.
As a reminder to ask a question, please press star 1. Our next question comes from Gregory Cogslich from UBS. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Hi, good morning. I've just got one question. Can you give us your view on a potential extension of Help to Buy timing? Obviously, we've had the announcement late last year about funding out to 2021. This is my understanding. Can you give us your view, what you think we need to see and what you think the milestones are, say, in the next 6 months or so before we get a decision for the period of longer term? Thank you.
Yeah, of course. Gregor, hi, good morning. First of all, I think just to put Help to Buy in context, I know that everyone is aware that Help to Buy launched back in 2013, and it was originally scheduled to run through until 2016, and the government made a decision initially to extend to 2020 and then to 2021. I think that the extension decision was very much made on the backdrop of how successful Help to Buy had been in terms of a proposition for the customer that really allowed the customer demand to be enabled. So clearly Help to Buy has been hugely positive for housing volumes and building homes. What we have said to government, and clearly the industry has said to government, is that we are operating with quite extended lead times. So thinking about committing on land to go through planning to get on site, that typically we could be looking at periods of 5 or 6 years from that initial commitment to actually completing on the average site. And therefore, the sooner that the industry receives confirmation about the intentions beyond 2021, the better. When you look at what the government have said, I think that they have said that they recognise that there is some need to make statements for the period beyond 2021, and we would hope that that would happen reasonably soon, certainly over the next 3 to 6 months. I think the other point to know is that Help to Buy very much has cross-party support. So the Labour Party had said in their manifesto that they would run it through until 2027, albeit with some modifications, and more recently have said that they would perhaps look at a household income restriction as one of those modifications. So I think the political backdrop does seem to recognise that an extension would be beneficial in terms of housing volumes.
Thank you very much.
Our next question comes from Charlie Campbell from Liberum. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Good morning, all. Couple of questions for me, really. Actually, perhaps I might stretch to three. Just wondered if you might say something about labour availability and how you manage that process through this year. Anything to say on London trends at all? And thirdly, just on the Letwind inquiry, whether how you see that that inquiry progressing and what you think the sort of likely outturn of that might be.
Okay, Charlie, I'm just going to run through those three questions myself. So, first of all, in terms of labour availability, I would say that it's broadly an unchanged position. So we know that the availability, securing labour and labour inflation is clearly one of the key challenges that's been facing the industry over the last 2 or 3 years. If you look at it over the last 3 months, 6 months, 12 months, I think it's largely an unchanged position. We are being able to secure labour. The cost of labour is rising, but the rates of labour inflation at, say, 5 or 6% are not different to where we were 12 months ago or 18 months ago. So no real change there. In terms of the London market, again, if you go back over calendar 17, I would say no real change, that product at lower price points is selling very well. There's very strong demand at lower price points, and that's clearly a big positive. And in large part reflects our focus on land buying in zones 3 to 6 rather than the inner zones. In the inner zones, as we said during calendar 17, the rates of sale have been slower than we'd seen in calendar 15 or 16, but rates of sale are largely unchanged. And for those central developments, we just continue to look at the balance between private sales and whether there's any opportunity in relation to bulk sales. And as you know, we've undertaken a couple of bulk sales in the central London properties over the last 12 months.
Yeah, sure.
In terms of the Letwin inquiry, I mean, clearly Barratt, as you would expect, the other large house builders, the HBF and some of the smaller house builders are directly involved in the inquiry. I mean, it's very early days. There's only been one meeting, and the terms of reference are not finalised. But it looks to me as though it's going to be a comprehensive review of the market in England, so looking at London, and also looking at regional marketplaces across the country. And I think really trying to understand what the challenges or restrictions are in terms of output on a per site basis. And inevitably, you know, they're going to look at large smart sites and small sites.
Right. Do we know the timetable of this? Sorry, I ought to know.
I don't think there is a definitive timetable. I mean, I would expect that the bulk of the inquiry will be completed in the first 6 months of the year.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, watch with interest. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Thanks, John.
Our next question comes from Clyde Lewis from Peel Hunt. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Morning, David. Morning, Jessica. Morning, Chloe. Just a couple of ones. I think some of the other guys have obviously asked some bits, but just on sort of overall build costs, I mean, obviously you've covered the labour issues there, David, but would you sort of still have overall costs, build costs, running at the sort of 3 to 4%, so materials sort of, I suppose, sort of 2 to 3 within that? One on land creditors, should we be expecting land creditor percentage of the gross land bank to be broadly unchanged this year? So again, a sort of increase in the absolute amount. And the last one I had really was what's happening to incentives at the moment?
Okay, fine. Well, if I pick up in terms of build costs and incentives, and Jessica will talk about land creditors. I mean, in terms of build costs, I mean, the short answer is, we're expecting to June 18 to be in line with the guidance at 3 to 4%. We'll obviously continue to have a look at the year to June 19, but I think the reality of the year to June 19 at this point in time is probably closer to 4 than to 3, but still in that range of 3 to 4%. The principal driver, as maybe you touched on, is some increasing material inflation rather than increasing labour inflation. In terms of incentives, then year-on-year incentives would be very consistent. So we're not seeing any increase or any particular need to increase incentives. The only area that we've seen a tick up incentives over the last 12 plus months would be in relation to Central London. So things like some stamp duty being paid or stamp duty-related incentives in Central London has probably become more of a feature of the market in the last 12 months.
Okay, thank you. And on land creditors?
Okay, so on land creditors, as you know, we had land creditors at 37% of the owned land bank at the end of June, and they will be at a similar level at the 31st of December. Looking forward, we continue to expect that there'll be 30 to 35% of the owned land bank at the end of June, in line with our operating framework.
Okay. Okay. Perfect. That's great. Thank you.
Thanks, Lauren.
Our next question comes from Kevin Kamax from Kencos. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Morning and Happy New Year to all of you there. I suppose slightly deeper thoughts on two of the issues which partially been touched on. First of all, on land, you've obviously had this, you know, quite significant increase in approval rate in the first half, and you know the message you've given is that inference that the tone is stronger in terms of the exceeding or hurdle rates that you can get. I just want to know, in a way, what therefore is there that sort of stops you doing more than 20,000 plus? I mean, if in the first 6 months it's been easy enough to get these and actually get them on a slightly better margin appraisal, you know, why aren't there another 13 coming through? And you know, maybe the answer is that in the first half you had a much higher rate of conversion from strategic, or, you know, there were some regions that you were expressly looking to, you know, to build the forward position. I don't know, but just sort of just more generally, any deeper thoughts as to why in particular you've had this sudden spurt of buying? And the second one really is around the forward sold position. At the AGM, you reported, I mean, let's ignore the absolute numbers, you know, in a way, because they, you know, constantly change through the year. But in percentage terms at the AGM, you were talking about forward sold position up 8.4%, and it's now up 2%. But your sales ratio, you know, your per site per week appears to have been remarkably constant. Is it simply a function of you having a higher rate of completion in this first 6 months, which is sort of pulling the forward sale ratio down quicker, or is there anything else potentially happening in that equation?
Yeah, okay, Kevin, fine. Well, look, if I just talk about the land bank, and then Jessica will talk through in terms of forward sales. I mean, Jessica will touch on it, but the only thing I would say on the forward sales is I think, looking at the position in November to the position this morning, I think it's important to look at both volume, i.e. the units forward sold, and also value, and also the distinction in terms of wholly owned and joint ventures. But Jessica will touch on that. So in terms of the land market, I mean, Kevin, I think overall, you know, we'd say that the land market is very positive. We're seeing lots of opportunities. And I think you need to put it in the context that post the referendum, so July, August 16, we had a very definite pause in the market. So we were really out the market, and some of our peers were out the market for at least a couple of months. Despite that, in the year to June 17, we approved a little over 18,000 plots. So on a pro rata basis for the 12 months, we were well ahead of the 20,000 run rate. And then we've come into FY18 with guidance right from the beginning that we would exceed 20,000 plots. So I think we're definitely on the front foot in terms of land acquisition. But on the other hand, I think there's got to be constraints. You know, we recognise that ultimately the approvals will flow through into cash spend, which flows through into either indebtedness or land creditors. And we want to ensure that we stick to our operating framework in terms of land bank length, in terms of land creditors and so on. So given that our completion levels are 17 to 18,000, to be intaking in excess of 20, we think is fine. It's on the front foot, and we're getting plenty of good opportunities.
Okay, so...
Can I just have one rider to that?
Yeah, yeah.
There's no inference, therefore, at all that you think land prices may actually get more expensive in the coming 2 years, or harder to buy in the coming 2 years?
No, I don't think
it's not been a positive policy in the last rolling 12 months to sort of systematically increase the amount of land because you fear that the price may move away from you 2 years down the track.
No, I would say that definitely not the case. I mean, the reality is that if you look at the introduction of the planning policy in 2012, that since the planning policy was introduced and revised planning policy in 2012, that there is a lot of land that is held by, in particular, land traders where they don't have delivery capability. So ultimately, the house building activity has to come from the house builders. And therefore, we see that there is still a lot of land held by the land traders that will come through to the market over the next 2 or 3 years. So we see that plenty of supply from that side of the equation. And also when you look at the large house builders and ourselves being no exception, you know, we have significant strategic land interests which will come through to the market over the next, you know, 2, 3, 5 years. So I think we see plenty of land supply in the medium term. So it's much more about us just trying to balance land intake rather than we're trying to see off one thing or the other.
Okay, thank you.
So in terms of the forward order book, Kevin, I'd start by saying it's a very strong position. It's our best position for the 31st of December. Now, if we look at it on a plot basis, total plots, including joint ventures, are up by 4%. Now, the joint ventures, there's only 12 sites within the joint ventures. So clearly that's dependent upon where those joint ventures are with regards to build and sales. On a wholly owned basis, the plots are up 3%, of which private plots are up by 4%. So clearly in terms of a plot basis, the plot numbers are up, which is in line with what we're expecting for the year in terms of modest volume growth. In terms of the ASP within the private element of the forward order book, that has reduced slightly year on year, which is because there are more regional plots within that part of the forward order book.
Okay, so the moving number has more been the price than the volume.
Yes, I mean, as I said, the volume in terms of private plots is up 4% year on year. The volume of wholly owned plots is up by 3% year on year.
Yeah. Okay, thanks for that, Jessica.
Thanks, Kevin.
As a reminder to ask a question, it is star one. We'll now take our next question from Andy Murphy from Bank of America Merrill Lynch. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Morning, David. Morning, Jessica. Just wanted to go back on the labour cost inflation issue. I was quite surprised by that level of 5 to 6%. You're saying that level of 5 to 6 has been consistent for a while. It seems to be higher than I had in my mind. Is there anything unusual in that figure? Is it reflecting sort of higher rates on your exposure to London? And just really a few more thoughts about how you think that might pan out over the next 12 months. If you can just flesh that out for me, that'd be great. Thank you.
Andy, hi, good morning. I don't think that's really different to what we've seen. I mean, if you go back and look at the environment, say, over the last 2 or 3 years, when you look at the combination of labour and materials, and clearly every company is going to be in a slightly different place, so I can only comment on Barrett, but you look at the combination of labour and materials, we've seen a very, very benign environment in terms of material price inflation really up until calendar 17. So therefore, the combination of labour and materials has been more about materials at zero, and certainly in probably calendar 15, materials negative in terms of inflation, i.e. net reductions, but blended with labour has given us an overall inflation number, and we were originally running at 2 to 3%, and we're now running at 3 to 4% on an overall basis. So when you look at bricklayers, roof tilers, you know, something like 5 to 6% overall, that would be the kind of rates we'd see coming through. Bricklayers and roof tilers at higher percentages than 5 or 6 if you backtrack over the last few years. So, no, I don't think there's anything different there. I mean, London inflation for labour, I think, typically has been a bit higher than the average. Perhaps inflation in the north of England has been a bit lower than the average. But that overall 5 to 6 is probably good in terms of subcontract labour, clearly.
And just to follow up, given those relatively higher figures you're talking about there, does that encourage the business or encourage you to look more at alternative methods, you know, more timber and steel frame than you're currently doing, or is that not such an issue when you're thinking about labour costs?
It's certainly a factor. I mean, I think it's both about availability and inflation. I think if you look at the square footage of housing that the industry is delivering, we will definitely be delivering square footage of housing at equivalent levels to where we were in 2007. And overall, we're building far more houses than we were building back in 2007. So the reality is that availability is a challenge in terms of bricklayers and roof tilers. Inflation is an overall challenge, and hence we have been doing a lot with regard to more timber frame in our business in England, and also more alternate methods like steel frame, large format block, both of which we've undertaken extensive trials, i.e. dozens of units, not trialing on single units, but trialing across whole sites in relation to steel frame and large format block. And that's going to be an ongoing process over the next 2 or 3 years to try to mitigate our dependency in terms of those labour channels.
Okay, great. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Andy.
There are no further questions from the phone, but again, as a reminder, it is star one to ask a question. As there are no further questions, I'll turn the call back to your host for any additional or closing remarks.
Okay, thank you. So just thanks to everyone for dialing in. We'll obviously be back in February with the full half-year results, and we'll provide further guidance at that time in terms of the full year. Thank you very much.
That will conclude today's call. Thank you for your participation, ladies and gentlemen. You may now disconnect.